Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As one of my predecessors, Franklin Roosevelt, once said, remember always that all of us, and you and I especially, are descended from immigrants and revolutionists. Immigrants and revolutionists. Now, that's not the story of looking backwards. That's the story of looking forward. That's what we're doing today.
So there is your leader, your communist street agitator, Al Sharpton, with a smoother act at a Cinco de Mayo thing. He already burnt Baltimore half to the ground, stirred up the African-American mobs. So now he goes to the Hispanics and tells them that their ancestry is that of revolutionists. Is there any further evidence I can produce for you to show you that you're living through a low-grade, slow-rolling, communist civil war provoked by the president and the first lady? Now, you're not supposed to mention the first lady. After all, I don't know what her campaign is about. It's school lunches, sorry. Right, the last one, it was books. Books, except conservative books. That was Laura Bush. All books were her thing. They all picked something to do. This first lady now goes to the Whitney Museum and says she felt unwelcome because she's black. I swear to God, the first lady of the United States, spoiled through and through, never toiled a day in her life, all handed to her. Listen to clip three. I'm not making any of this up. Listen.
You see, there are so many kids in this country who look at places like museums and concert halls and other cultural centers, and they think to themselves, well, that's not a place for me.
Shame on you.
For someone who looks like me, for someone
who
comes from my neighborhood. In fact,
shame,
I guarantee you that right now there are kids living less than a mile from here who would never in a million years dream that they would be welcome in this museum.
Shame on you.
And growing up on the south side of Chicago, I was one of those kids myself.
What a liar! What a liar! I can't imagine what it must be like to be a black person in America under these communist liars. I don't understand it. I don't understand how the black people in this country don't rise up and scream from the top of their lungs at these two. She feels uncomfortable in the Whitney Museum? Did she think she was at the Whitey Museum? Is that the mistake I'm making here? She wasn't at the Whitey Museum. She was at the Whitney Museum. And she was a slum kid who felt uncomfortable going to museums? All of it's fabricated. Okay. Now you go to the next stage on the Savage Nation. And that is this. Last night, I was pleased to see that the Drudge Report linked the story about my statements that were published on WorldNet Daily. And it's still up there. I think it's still up there. I'm looking for, maybe it was dropped here. Savage, Obama will arm gangs for race war. Now people say, what is he, crazy? What is this, the Turner Diaries? What is he, nuts? Well, if you actually listen to what I said, you'll find out that I'm not too far from the truth. What do you mean I'm not too far from the truth? What do you mean he's going to deputize gangs in the streets? What do you think I really meant? Well, I suggest you go to the Drudge Report and look at the story, or go to WND, and now you listen to me, because this morning as I woke up, I was feeding the birds, as I normally do to get away from politics and humans, and I turned on my local radio station on which I appear, KSFO, which is just the best station in the country, unbelievable, and the morning crew was covering that story, and I want you to hear what we talked about. Clip one.
I love it. We're getting a house call from Dr. Savage. Good morning, Michael Savage. We were just invoking your name. How are you?
Well, that's why I called. You know, it's early morning for me. My show's at noon. Turn you on. As I was noticing that the bay hasn't risen at all this morning from the melting of the ice caps. That's good to know. And I was throwing used pita bread to the seagulls and laughing to myself how much they love gluten. It hasn't seemed to kill the seagulls yet. I heard you talking about the link on Drudge, and I'm glad you said that it's not too far-fetched, the idea that this gangster regime would arm the gangs.
Right.
Let's think about it. You're right. In context, it's already happening. When you have the police of San Francisco being told to wear all uniforms they'd wear to a funeral to control a crowd, tell me who they're tipping the scales in favor of.
Right.
The mad leftist hordes. The vermin.
Right.
The vermin. The vermin who don't work for a living. The rats. The street garbage that's supposed to be controlled. The police are there to protect us from the scum. And now the mayor is telling the police, don't protect us from the scum. Let them burn and wreck and beat up police horses. Tell me if that's not a civil war. I'm going crazy from this.
Well, it's as if your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, is coming to life. I mean, that book in many ways was prophetic, or I should say is prophetic, Doctor.
Well, I don't know whether it's prophetic. I know that this thing in the White House has been at war with America from the day he graduated Columbia and found out that by going to the radical side of his nature, everyone started kissing his feet. By his own admission, in his own autobiography, he said he was never a black radical as a young man. He didn't have to be. His white grandmother took good care of him, didn't she?
Yep.
After his father abandoned him and fled to Kenya. I mean, let's be clear. You want to call it racist? It's not racist. Let's talk realist about his own autobiography. He was very well cared for, went to an expensive private school in Honolulu. I had to leave Honolulu because my son was going to enter the first grade and I couldn't afford a private school. Okay? That's when I moved to California. We didn't have the money to send him to a private school. And I wouldn't send him to a public school because, to be very frank with you, the racism against whites in Honolulu is overwhelming, ask anyone who lives there. But let's put that aside. By his own admission, he was not a black radical as a youngster. It was at Columbia that he became radicalized when he found out by identifying with the leftist black radicals, suddenly the whites kissed his feet. He's ridden it all the way to the White House. Why should he stop now?
You're exactly right. Now, let's get back to the point that you made, which is making national headlines. And, you know, there are a lot of times when you'll say things on your program and it goes national or even international. But when you talked about Barack Obama putting together something that would look like arming U.S. gangs for a race war, didn't it remind you of, I mean, you had to be thinking of that comment that Barack Obama made, which we just played in 2008, where he's talking about this gargantuan civilian force, much like a military.
Well, of course, that's what I was thinking about. And I'm kind of playing with people's heads a little bit to make them understand that the street gangs are an army. It's an armed army that the police keep in check.
And so they're, so what you're saying is they're already in place. They're already here. It's already happening.
Have weapons, for God's sakes. They're loaded to the teeth with guns. Look at those two Muslims with machine guns in Texas. Where'd they get the machine guns from?
Good point. Good point.
And who's supposed to control them? A traffic cop in Texas shot them dead by two headshots with their body armor. Well, which is one good thing about we learned about is that if you're driving through Texas, you better obey all traffic rules. That's all I can say. But the thing is, let's not make a joke about what's going on here. You know, I know you're trying to be deadly serious. It's very early in the morning. My friends, they're here. They're armed. They're called gangs. They're loaded to the rafters with weapons and ammunition, body armor, you name it. Who keeps them in check? The local police, not the federales. So now the federales are telling the police to stand down.
Right.
So is there an army? The army is here. It's not like tomorrow. He doesn't have to give them a uniform. All he has to do is tell the police not to do anything.
Headline, Savage says Obama may arm U.S. gangs for race war. My point is, they're here. You saw it in Baltimore, didn't you? The police were sent to face the mobs without body armor, without helmets, and they were told to stand down. The city burned. San Francisco is going to have a day of action, so-called, tomorrow, which is right out of the communist playbook. Direct action is a phrase from the communist revolution. And the police were told to wear dress uniforms when they face the hordes of vermin in the gutters tomorrow. In other words, let the vermin break windows. Let the vermin do whatever they want. Don't stand up to them. We have a society that's melting down. It goes all the way back to the statement that a fish rots from the head down. That's the opening to my show. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So you've got the president stirring up gangs in the inner city. Then he goes to the Cinco de Mayo and tells Hispanics that they come from revolutionaries and we're not talking. Hey, listen to what he says. You got to hear it again. Don't miss this. Listen.
As one of my predecessors, Franklin Roosevelt, once said.
Listen. Come on. Play
remember
it.
Always.
Obama.
That all of us, and you and I especially, are descended from immigrants and revolutionists. Immigrants and revolutionists. Now, that's not the story of looking backwards. That's the story of looking forward.
Did you hear what he just said?
That's what we're doing today.
This nasty piece of work triples down, and he's not glorifying the American Revolution. He's talking about the new American Revolution, which he's leading. How stupid can you be, you idiots out there? You dumb liberals, I blame you. You're burning the country down. You morons, you. You all, you nice liberal idiots, you. So, how you feeling today? And the First Lady says that she's not welcome in museums, that black people are not welcome in museums. She came from a slum and wasn't welcome in a museum. Who the hell does she think she's fooling? Listen to clip three, liberal morons.
There are so many kids in this country who look at places like museums and concert halls and other cultural centers, and they think to themselves, well, that's not a place for me.
Sickening.
For someone who looks like me, for someone who comes from my neighborhood. In fact, I guarantee you that right now there are kids living less than a mile from here who would never in a million years dream that they would be welcome in this museum. And growing up on the south side of Chicago, I was one of those kids myself.
What a liar. Doesn't anyone out there have any shame? Is there not a liberal in New York City or Chicago who has any shame, who says, I've had enough of these two rabble-rousers, that I'm sick of them? They're liars through and through. They're revolutionaries. They're wanting to burn the country down before they leave office. You know, there was a very telling New Yorker cartoon just before the first election when these two was foisted upon us. And it showed Barack Obama with a large afro looking like Stokely Carmichael from the 60s. And it showed Michelle Obama caricatured as Angela Davis with a bandolier of ammunition. You remember the cartoon? How the New Yorker said they were just kidding. They were trying to show you how white people viewed them. How chillingly accurate that was. How chillingly frightening it is to think that day after day, minute by minute, hour by hour, it gets worse. And there's not a word out of the establishment as to what they're doing to this country. Now, I could ask you a question or two, like as a black middle-class person, do you feel excluded from a museum? Are you crazy? What, is there a sign that says black's not allowed? Is she out of her mind? I go to museums. They bend over backwards, in fact, to the point where it's nauseating. Every other exhibit's about the wonders of the Latino culture, the wonders of Mexico, the wonders of Africa, the wonders of the Middle East. It's as though there were no white people on the planet. It's as though there was no European civilization until he became president. Now the fools in the museum, every other exhibit is about the wonders of everything except the European man, the European woman. There are no Europeans permitted, no exhibits. Why don't they just take all of the great works of art and throw them away, burn them, have an art burning? Why don't invite the mobs in and let them burn the art, the evil art of Rembrandt and Van Gogh? Just burn it. It's just, you know, dead white males that did it. Burn all the art. Replace it with the filth that's coming out of the art schools today. Well, I think I've made my point. I can ask you a question or two. Black people, did you feel excluded from museums as a child? Are you ashamed to go to a museum? This spoiled, rich lady, Michelle Obama, who never really toiled in her life, says she came from the South Side and she was afraid to go to a museum? Are you not embarrassed to say you're a Democrat? Of course not. Let me ask you, Giovanni on KSFO, go to the Savage Nation phone line. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Giovanni?
Well, you know, I'm on Twitter all the time, you know, and you hear these tweets, but it sickens me that the taxpayer paid $100 million for the first family to go to Africa. And then she's saying she's not welcome in museums. If she goes to a museum, she's going to get in there, they're going to kick everybody else out, and she's going to go in there with the Secret Service. But my real gripe is against the power structure. That whenever a radio personality says, you know, we support our troops, you know, our police officers, our firefighters, whatever, these are the very same people that make up the power structure that goes all the way up to the...
I understand the generic complaint. I am sick to my stomach of Michelle Obama's comments that blacks are not allowed in museums, that they don't feel welcome in museums. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of Obama stirring up the masses saying, burn, baby, burn. It's right out of the 60s. Look what he did in Baltimore. Now he goes to the Hispanics on Cinco de Mayo, and he says to them, be a revolutionist. What the hell has to happen? Does he have to come out with a machine gun on the balcony of the White House and shoot it in the air with a cigar in his mouth till you wake up like putzes? You putzes, you. You don't even see what the hell he is. The man has wrecked everything he's touched. But what's worse now is Hillary. She's moving to the left of him in order to make certain that the false Indian, Pocahontas Warren, doesn't run for office. Why is it that the Democrat Party is appeasing the radical left? They're not the majority of Democrats. How did a small band of academic psychotic vermin get control of the Democratic Party? How did a small band of psychotic tenured professors and sick lawyers get control of a once decent middle of the road working class party? How did this happen? Do you not see the handwriting on the wall? Do you not see where this is leading? Do you not understand history? Do you not understand you have communist revolutionaries in the White House, in the media, in academia, and that it's a long time until they're gone? They've nullified the election we just had. Now, by the way, why is it that Boehner and McConnell are going along with everything Obama's asking for?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Like museums and concert halls and other cultural centers, and they think to themselves, well, that's not a place for me. For someone who looks like me, for someone who comes from my neighborhood. In fact, I guarantee you.
That's Angela Davis Obama trying to stir up blacks into thinking they're not welcome in concert halls. What an insult it is to black people who are concert musicians, black artists, black intellectuals. What an insult these people are. How could you people not accept what I'm saying to you? This is vile. All right, let's take some calls. Nicole on WMAL, where my show is booming. Why is it my show is the biggest thing in Washington, D.C. on WMAL? Nicole, welcome to the program. Go ahead and make your point.
Thank you. I just think it's incredible, yet not surprising, how one-sided white Americans can be. People of color, both indigenous and African descent, have had to be on the defensive side just for human rights still today. White Americans have always...
All right, I heard. So you don't like white America. So tell me an African-dominated nation where you would do better.
That's not true. I do like white America.
No, you just said this is a one-sided nation. The whites dominate and they're racist and they make you feel bad. Is there a nation that is ruled by black people where you might do better that I don't know about?
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're missing...
Well, that's what you just said. You have a grievance, so tell me where it would be better for you, where you'd feel more comfortable and a better opportunity. Might it be Liberia?
Museums. I'm a black woman, and I did not feel comfortable going to museums because I felt unwelcome. You want to know why? Because when I go there, I get stared at, I get looked upon, I get followed. I get, oh, what are you doing?
Well, maybe it's something about your the way you're going in. What do you mean the way you're followed? What are you talking about?
When you go, okay, the museum, for example, I took my girls to the museum. Me and my husband took our girls.
So what do you want the museums to do? Tell me what would make you feel more comfortable. What would make you feel more comfortable in a museum?
Just want human rights, just like everyone else.
I asked you, what would make you, a black woman, feel more comfortable in whitey museums?
If I was left alone, in order to just look around just like everyone else. I don't need help. I know where I'm going. I don't need to be followed.
I don't understand it. What do you need done? Well, what's your grievance now? What do you want done? What has to happen? What, you need a special headphone to give you a tour? What is it you want? What are you asking for? I don't understand what you're asking for. What's the matter? The script wore out? The script that was given to you by some white communist ran out? I mean, I don't understand. I'm asking you. You're on a national radio show. You tell me you're a black woman who's uncomfortable in a museum. What is it that you want done to make you comfortable? Gone. The script is gone. The controller didn't have an answer. The guy behind her with the curly hair and the big eyeglasses from the ACLU didn't have an immediate answer. He gave her one cue card. The second cue card wasn't written yet for the next show. I never heard this before. This is a new one on me. That black people feel uncomfortable in museums. I never even paid attention to people. In fact, when I go to museums, I don't get to look at people. Incidentally, maybe she went there to look at the art instead of worrying how people were looking at her. She wouldn't be worried about how people are looking at her. I've seen people in rags in museums. You know, I remember when I was a kid in New York, I was always a museum going, the natural history at the time. And then when I moved up to the Met and the Guggenheim and visited them, I would see people in rags. Rag pickers would come to the museum or were down on their luck or through whatever happened to them. They'd be in the museum studying fine art. I'm sure they felt uncomfortable too, but they came there to look at the art, not to worry about how the museum guard looked at them. They look at me, by the way, lady. Hey, lady, you're uncomfortable in museums because they look at you. You're a paranoid lunatic. Let me put it to you that way. Do you know that when I, a white man, walk around a museum, the guard stares at me, the Filipino guards in the De Young Museum? What do I do, go complain about it and tell him to replace him? That's his job, is to stare at people. Do you understand that? But you think he's staring at you, but he's actually staring at everybody. That's the job of a museum guard. But if you are paranoid, if you're by nature a paranoid schizophrenic, or if you are overly sensitive to your race or your height or your weight or you're gay or you're straight, you'll assume they're only looking at you. That's an extension, by the way, of your own paranoid feelings, because the guards look at everybody. The guard's looking at everybody. And she's a liar, that Michelle Obama, through and through. What a stone liar. She grew up in the South Side and was uncomfortable in museums. Don't you remember they put her on the hospital board? Remember that little story? This poor, oppressed minority girl was put on the hospital board? What'd they do that for? Because she was Albert Einstein? She made a discovery that no one else had discovered yet in medicine. They had to put her on the board. What a liar. Stop already with this big lie. It's sickening. WBAP in Dallas letter. This is a shocking story. Give me your opinion, would you please?
I think what she's saying is not true. I grew up in the South Side of Chicago, and my mother was a single parent, and we went to the museum daily. That was something that we looked for because we liked a submarine exhibit. We liked to go into the coal mine. We enjoyed looking at the babies in the bottle. And then we would go on downtown. We would walk. We had a ball. It was wonderful. And
So what is Michelle Obama making a story up that she grew up on the South Side and she was one of those kids who was intimidated to go to the museum because she was a black lady? It's unheard of, Letta.
It is. It is unheard of, and that's just what she does. But we had a ball. It's the Museum of Science and Industry right on Lakeshore Drive. It was wonderful for us, and we had a...
Isn't that amazing? I don't understand how she could get away with this. Who does she think she is speaking to, Letta? You are obviously an African-American woman. You don't believe a word this woman says? Are you repelled by her?
No, I do not like her. I never liked them when they first walked across the stage. The South Side of Chicago was a wonderful thing. My brother worked at Jackson Park being a caddy. He made a lot of money, and we had a great time. Maybe that's what they were looking for, but that is not what we was looking for.
Amazing. Letta, I almost give up with these two. Why do they continue this hatred towards America? Why? What are they after, Letta? What do you think they really want?
I think they hate America, and they want to turn it around, and that's what they're trying to do. But there are a lot of black women and men out there that, especially my friends, do not care for them. I was in the military, and everybody I know in the military say no, no, no for them.
Unbelievable, Letta. It's sickening. I just don't understand how they get away with this. Actually, I unfortunately do understand it. I'm sending you a fresh copy, brand new, out next week, my novel, Countdown to Mecca, because obviously you're a literate woman who would enjoy reading a novel. It's a very thoughtful novel and very important. I don't think that Michelle Obama would be comfortable reading Countdown to Mecca, or I'd be happy to send them a complimentary copy. Now, I was a poor kid. I'm not going to sit on, oh, I'm poor from the Bronx. I'm not going to go on and on with that. I was poor. I didn't dress well. I was always insecure about how I looked in white America. But I went to the museum. I didn't look like William F. Buckley Jr. with a curled lip from England. I didn't go to the museum looking like an English lord's son. I went with whatever I was wearing a pair of corduroy pants and a jacket, and I went to look at the art. I didn't pay much attention to my outfit. So where she's coming up with this is it gets even better. Clip four, I didn't play it yet. You ready for this one? Hold your stomachs, here it comes.
I know the feeling of not belonging in a place like this.
Oh.
And today, as First Lady, I know how that feeling limits the horizons of far too many of our young people. And that's one of the reasons why Barack and I...
From the First Lady to the Worst Lady in one generation. She doesn't feel... She's giving a speech at the Whitney Museum. And she knows the feeling of not belonging in a place like this. Have I made my point? Do you accept what I'm saying? Did you feel excluded from museums as a child? Do you feel the gang problem in America is better or worse under Obama? Do you feel any speech should have severe limits? Do you think Pamela Geller should get FBI protection or Secret Service? Of course she should, but they threw her to the wolves. The NYPD said that she's on a hit list, and the FBI says, you know what? Screw her. She got what she deserved. So that's the country we're living in now. I'm not going to talk about a football. I don't know how anyone could do that. 3 hours of the show preceded me. I never heard anything like this. You talk about a guy ducking a tough topics. 3 hours about a football? I could see mentioning it if you're a sports nut. 3 hours on a radio talk show about a football? You talk about ducking and covering. My God, it's getting sickening. Everyone's afraid to talk about the topics right now. But I raised an issue before that I got to go back to. Why is Boehner, the drunk, going along with everything Obama does, like absolutely servile? McConnell bent over backwards, give him fast trade agreement, which even the Democrats oppose because it'll further destroy the job market in America. It will further hollow out our industrial capacity. McConnell is all for it because he's a sellout. McConnell, the Republican. Boehner, the Republican. Why are they to the left? I wouldn't say to the left of. Why are they doing Obama's bidding? They're bored with everything. They already said that they will not repeal Obamacare no matter what happens. So in other words, they're part of his party. Why? Does anyone remember the FBI files that were stolen by Craig Livingston during the era of the Clintons? Do you remember what went on? They stole FBI files. I was told from a very high source that John Boehner's name is amongst those files. That's what I was told. I can't confirm or deny it. Now, many of you have alleged that there is some kind of blackmail going on of Boehner and McConnell to explain it. I actually don't believe that's it. I don't believe they need to be blackmailed. I think they're total, absolute sellouts who are nothing but front men for special interests. So what do you have to blackmail them for? What do you have to blackmail Boehner for? He already has the condo in Jacksonville. He's got the cases of booze lined up for the retirement. He's got the speaker fees. He's happy as as he can be. He's got it all lined up. He's like a retired, like a guy in the police department who's ready for retirement and to cash in. He's like a fireman about to retire, ready to cash in. You think he cares about the fire department? He cares about how much he's going to milk the public for. That's all. So I don't think it's about a conspiracy with their blackmailing him that what he got a speeding ticket when he was a youth. No, I don't believe that's true. McConnell's the same exact thing. McConnell is a lobbyist for huge business interests, period. And if they can get cheaper labor, McConnell is for it. It's always the Benjamins, my savage friends. Don't look beyond the Benjamins. Follow the Benjamins. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Now, the election in England, we'll have the results for you in an hour. The polls close. We'll be the first radio show in America to have it. Let's pray to God that the communist on the left doesn't win. He'll burn the country to the ground. The liberal, Miliband, has already said if he becomes prime minister, he will ban free speech in England, whatever's left of it. He will make it a crime to criticize Islam. I swear to God, he's to the left of the Sharia law people in some cases in England. He is a white Jewish liberal. Did you know that? I know I'm not supposed to mention this, but you know, I'm a social worker at heart, so I know everything. I study these things. Miliband would be the first Jewish prime minister of England, and unfortunately, he's not a conservative Jewish man. He's a far-left radical communist type. In other words, if you wanted England run by the ACLU, you couldn't do better than electing Miliband. That's what's going on in England. That's what's at stake there. Can you imagine from the age of the greatness of the great lion of the British Empire to this whimpering nation that's left? Anyway, that'll be in the next hour. We're actually talking in shock right now of Michelle Obama at the Whitney Museum saying black people feel uncomfortable in museums. And I'm saying it's a result of paranoia, if you feel that. Because when I go to museums, the guards follow me around. Here in San Francisco, I'm not black. The Filipino guards trail me. They trail me. Sometimes I get upset. They do. I walk around an empty hall. There they are. Wherever I turn, he thinks I'm going to steal a painting or spray paint it. I'm a grown man, a mature man, an older man. Why is he trailing me for? Why does he make me feel comfortable? I don't know. Maybe he's a nut. WSBA Radio, Mike, welcome to the program. Give us the museum comment.
Yeah, I'm a white American, and with these museums, you got like the Thurston Hell from Gilligan's Island running them. They look down on any working American middle-class person.
Well, right, if I go in there, I'm not a poor man. They trail me. The Filipino guards, and there's mainly Filipinos in the guard world here, they stare at me. They follow me around the museum. I get very, very uncomfortable. I don't demand the museum give me a private tour.
Yeah, but if you don't fit their, you know, thing, you're not welcome. You know, so basically, if you're a working class, you know, middle class, what they're trying to destroy, because, you know, the...
So you're saying it's not about race in plain English. Michelle's full of it.
Exactly.
So you're saying it's not about black people either?
No.
It's about how they're dressing these people who are saying they feel uncomfortable, like that woman?
It's just about... Just the working class people.
Well, what do you have to look like to be left alone in a museum? What do I have to do? I have to get surgery to look like William F. Buckley Jr. with an arched eyebrow and a bow tie?
You got to look like...
Maybe if I wore a bow tie and had an arched eyebrow and wore a seersucker suit, they would. I could pass for white. Maybe that's what I could pass for white if I wore a seersucker suit and had an arched eyebrow and a monocle, maybe. Maybe I can get a monocle and a bow tie. And a cane and a top hat, and maybe the guards will leave me alone. God, you know, you can turn anything into droll comedy. This is absurd. It's sickening. In case you don't know what we're talking about, it's because you don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about, I don't want to review it. I'm supposed to do it. I do it all the time. It's why I'm good at radio. I'm sick of reviewing it. I am sick of reviewing what I'm talking about. The election in Britain is so important, you can't imagine. I would say Winston Churchill would be turning over in his grave to think that a communist might win in England, but that would be an understatement. He faced it right after World War II, by the way, the very same dynamics. After World War II, the people wanted socialism, and they threw him out of office. Did you know that? They wanted a free ride. And then we had the terrible years in England of the 50s, when the unions ran the country, and people's benefits were sky high. The laughing stock of British machinery, you know, the tea breaks, walking off the job in the middle of the day, Lucas Electric and all of that. I mean, I own Jaguars. I know what I'm talking about. Wires that caught fire in the first rainstorm. That's what you get on the unions. But Churchill fought this. He knew what was coming, and they threw him out after he was a war hero. They threw him out. Saved England. They threw him out. What else is new under the sun?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As one of my predecessors, Franklin Roosevelt, once said, remember always that all of us, and you and I especially, are descended from immigrants and revolutionists. Immigrants and revolutionists. Now, that's not the story of looking backwards. That's the story of looking forward. That's what we're doing today.
You see, there are so many kids in this country who look at places like museums and concert halls and other cultural centers, and they think to themselves, well, that's not a place for me. For someone who looks like me, for someone who comes from my neighborhood.
You get the picture. I rest my case. I have never, I keep saying I have never. They keep topping themselves with their lies and the lowness of their existences. She doesn't feel like she belongs in museums. Kids who are poor or black don't belong in museums. And she said that growing up on the south side of Chicago, I was one of those kids myself, which is a complete lie, by the way. Total lie, as you know. But it leads you to ask a question. How come she didn't feel uncomfortable going to an Ivy League school? She went there. I mean, she must have been very uncomfortable. She got a degree there. And while we're asking the question about being uncomfortable, is she not uncomfortable about flying in Air Force One? I mean, after all, that's more intimidating. See, the implication is that a museum is a white man's place. And there's no place for a black woman in a white man's white museum, even though it's the Whitney Museum. I don't know, maybe the N could have fallen off the head of the museum. Maybe the N fell off that day from a windstorm, and it said Whitey Museum, and she became uncomfortable. I don't know the answer. But she was at the Whitney Museum, and she says places like this, uncomfortable. She's giving a speech there at the Whitney Museum. Growing up, she felt uncomfortable. So how come she's not uncomfortable in Air Force One? How come she wasn't uncomfortable at the Ivy League colleges? Is she not uncomfortable about being the first lady to have her mother live in the White House at taxpayer expense? Is she not uncomfortable about the millions of people who are shocked and appalled at her abuse of taxpayer funds for her junkets around the world? That's what she should be uncomfortable about. It's a nonsense story, but I'm talking about it because the woman is saying this for a reason. She takes a podium like that, and what is she using that for? Use your head. What is she doing that for? What did her husband go to a Cinco de Mayo thing and talk about, we are revolutionaries and we're not talking about the past, the future? What is he trying to do? If you were in a seminar and a teacher asked you that question, you can answer that easily. Make believe you're in a college seminar, a real college seminar. And yet a professor was trying to teach you about a communist revolutionary couple that took over a nation like this. And every day, in every way, in every speech, they try to foster this dissent and discord, rather, in the people and foment revolution. So they're not happy enough with what they just did in Baltimore. Now what? What are they on to next? What city's next for them? What's on the horizon? I'll raise the campaign a little bit that I'm talking about. Detroit. Minority ruled, a basket case hollowed out. Baltimore, minority ruled, set fire, a basket case, a bust out job. Now what has been done on the minority rule in Detroit and in Baltimore is being done on a national level by Barack Obama. He's busting out the country the way Detroit was busted out. And the way Baltimore burned, he'd like to burn the nation. But, okay, I'm just a flaming right winger. I don't see things as they really are. No, you see things as they really are. Things are much better under Barack Obama. Burn, baby, burn. And we can go on with this if you want. And I want to go back now. Sorry. I eat on the run. I just ate my lunch during the break. An entire meal. I eat furtively. I eat furtively on the run. I don't eat in high expensive restaurants. I really don't feel comfortable in them. I'm like Michelle Obama. When I go into a restaurant with a white tablecloth, I feel uncomfortable. I'd rather eat a sandwich in my kitchen alone. because I never would dream that I'd be allowed in a restaurant with a white tablecloth. It's a white man's place. And growing up in the Bronx, I was one of those kids who never ate on a white tablecloth. I ate on oilcloth. So, I mean, I could empathize with her. Yeah, I know that feeling of not belonging in a place like this, she says. Yeah, we read that one. So, I want to go back to the big link up on Drudge last night. It's still up there. It's gotten so much attention. Savage says Obama will arm gangs for race war. So people say, oh, he's crazy. What is he, arming gangs? Nuts. They're not going to deputize gangs and give them guns. No. But if you actually listen to the context, once again, instead of being a dummy, like most liberals are, if you don't want to be a dummy and actually understand what I'm talking to you about, you'll see that he already has them in the street all armed. They're armed already. Where do the gangs get the weapons from? Who keeps the gangs away from the people in the middle of any race? Remember what the job of the police is. I'll make it very simple for you because you probably forgot what the police are there for. The job of the police is to protect us from criminals. Gangs are criminals. Mobs that burn things are criminals. The cops' job is to protect us from those mobs using nightsticks, hoses, whatever they had to use, police dogs, rubber bullets. They could have stopped Baltimore from burning. But the revolutionary moron who runs Baltimore, the college student who they gave the job to, told the police to stand down and didn't give them vests and helmets. And now tomorrow in San Francisco, the genius mayor of this city has told the police to wear dress uniforms for the riots that are going to occur from a day of action, so-called, by the vermin of San Francisco. The vermin who don't work for a living. The vermin who God knows what they do for a living. I don't know where they come from. Pipes on their arms at the Oakland City Council. You never saw misshapen human beings like this in your life. In my day, they would have been in Ringling Brothers, in the freak show. Now they call themselves revolutionaries. The revenge of the freaks. So tomorrow, the freaks are going to have a communist action in the city. I don't know who they're mad at this time. We don't know what it's about. And the police, instead of being told to control them, are being told to wear dress uniforms. Don't intimidate them. Don't even wear your shields on your uniform. This is how sickening it's becoming in this demented city and state that I live in. Wear dress uniforms of the type you would wear to a funeral, because that's what they're doing to the police under Barack Obama. They've turned policemen into mourners. That's what they're doing. And if you think it's for the betterment of society, you wait and see. You wait and see what's coming if they don't stop this. And now it's on to the callers. But first, I don't know if I want to go to callers yet. I don't know. I think I'll play the second part of the KSFL interview from this morning a little later on. We're going to have the results from England. And is it in this hour? Have they come down yet? I think Disraeli, by the way, was the first Jewish prime minister. Someone, my friend Jack, said that. But at least he was a nationalist and a patriot. This one, communist, left-wing fanatic, Miliband. He already said last week, if he becomes prime minister, he's going to make it illegal to say anything negative about Islam. Can you imagine this? The general of Sharia, Miliband. But what happened in England is happening here. The liberals, through multiculturalism, ushered in so many Muslims that the white demagogues like Miliband are appeasing them by appealing to them. Sound familiar? What they could not win from the general population through policies, they're going to win through demographics. That's called a race war. That's what the liberals specialize in. Now tell me who the biggest loser is going to be from amnesty for illegal aliens from south of the border. It's not primarily the white person in the middle class. It's primarily the poor people. And mainly poor blacks are going to be aced out of any benefits. The benefits are going to be cut. Jobs that remain will be cut. Social services that are given for people who need them are going to be cut and given to the Hispanic illegals, as they are already being done. How could black people not see this? I do not understand. Again, I say things that I didn't mean that. Of course I understand. They're brainwashed. What do you mean I don't understand? It's a matter of speech. In high school, I read 30 Days to a More Powerful Vocabulary. I came from an immigrant family, and I was impressed with words. My father always read, you know, many newspapers. He wasn't educated, but he tried to understand from the columnists what positions they were taking, left, right, center. He read five newspapers a day. I thought he was nuts. I didn't understand why he'd need five newspapers. In those days in New York, there was the Journal American, the Daily News, the New York Post. I forget, the Herald Tribune. He would never buy the New York Times. He felt uncomfortable reading it. He would never buy the New York Times because he was like Michelle Obama in a museum. If he were to buy the New York Times, he felt unwelcome at the newsstand. Then when I became a young social worker, I tried to ride the subway and look like a white person. I tried to pass for middle-class white. So I got the Brooks Brothers raincoat. I learned how to fold the New York Times while riding a subway car with one hand. That's quite a trick, by the way. That's very William F. Buckley Jr., is to hold on to a strap and read a paper. Man, you're really smart. You're as close to Dostoevsky as you can imagine. And here we are today, the year 2015, the 7th of May. You're listening to a radio talk show in the greatest nation in the history of the world. And in the last days of freedom, unless these Sharia maniacs are stopped. And I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I am so happy to be alive. You have no idea what life force I have. Sometimes I get so high on life, I get so up in the natch area, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, the older I get, I go down some days, but some days, some moments, I'm so happy. I'm so alive. I feel that now. I feel so good because I'm expressing myself. To me, you know the statement, give me liberty or give me death. Do you understand what it means? If you have a zipper on your mouth, you may as well be dead. And that's what the Muslims want to do to you. They want to zip your mouth up. It starts with Sharia about the prophet. The next thing, it's bacon on the menu. The next day, it's crosses on the churches. The next day, it's imposing some other crazy throwback law. Don't you understand what's at stake right now in this country? Then you got the two revolutionaries in the White House trying to stir the masses up against the middle class. So Michelle's statement, uncomfortable in museums, you hear? All of a sudden, she's uncomfortable. A woman who went to Ivy Leagues, had the best of life, her whole life. All of a sudden, she was uncomfortable in museums. I just got an email that someone sent to the guys down in Dallas. I got to read it to you. It's anonymous. It says, I grew up in a fairly rural town that had only one museum. A very small museum, which I went to on a grade school field trip. My first significant museum experience was later on in life in San Francisco when I was 28 years old. I was nervous because I didn't know museum etiquette, if any existed, or what to expect or what to wear. I was self-conscious. So naturally, I felt everyone was staring at me. But guess what? I'm not black. In fact, I'm white, she says. I'm a white woman, and I didn't have access to museums growing up. And I was nervous and self-conscious when I went to a real museum for the first time. She said, it must be because everyone is racist. You know, sarcastically, etc. You get the picture? Nothing to do with race. And I'll remind you again, I go to museums, and the guards follow me around. I don't look like a maniac. I don't understand it. Sometimes I ask myself, I get mad, by the way. There's one in particular. I don't think he knows me at all. I go into an empty room in the De Young Museum, and there's a certain room I love with a ship on ice from 1862 of a whaling ship stuck on the ice. I love this painting. And I sometimes stare at it. Maybe he thinks I'm a psycho because I stare at one painting. He doesn't even understand the protocols of the museum itself as a guard. They think you're supposed to be moving along like you're in a circus. They don't understand the object of going to a museum is to actually study the paintings. Most people go there to possess the visitorship. They walk through the museum as fast as they can. Okay, check off the Cezanne, check off the Gauguin, check off the Picasso, check off to this one, check off. And they're through already. They tell you what they saw. They didn't see anything. The object of the museum is actually study the art. So stand in front of a painting. Try standing in front of any great piece of oil for 5 minutes and stare only at one painting. See what happens to you. That's a great experience. Of course, the guards think you're a psycho about to break the glass and slash it. So naturally, they stare at you because no one knows how to look at a painting anymore. The greatest museum experience I ever had, speaking of museums, was 20 years ago, San Francisco, the Young Museum, had a visiting exhibition of the Van Goghs. And one of the Van Goghs was a small self-portrait and it, you know, had no glass on it. so you could actually see the painting. I was able to stand in front of it and stare at it. I felt his psychosis as he was painting it. I got caught up and pulled into the swirls of the oil. It was just of his face. But the longer you stared at the painting, the more you felt the man's edginess, meaning madness. He was mad when he painted this picture. It was well known that he went in and out of madness. He'll pull you into his madness if you study the Van Gogh long enough by staring right at it. Not see, that's the difference between looking at it on the online, everything online. Having sex online is not quite the same as having sex in life, is it? Well, staring at an oil painting is not the same as looking at it online. We have a whole generation of idiots who don't know what life is. Walking around, another appendage to their body. Two arms, two legs, and an iPhone. That's an appendage of the body. You ever see the morons? They can't put it down. Not for 1 second. They go to the bathroom to relieve themselves. They have an iPhone in their hand. What message could possibly be coming in? What is he on a bombing mission over Stuttgart? What does he need the iPhone in the toilet for? What is he going to miss, the moron? Or the busybodies, every second on the... They're walking in the street, tap, 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 tap. They're sending secret signals to Iran. Every minute they're getting and sending secret messages. Aha! Aha! There she is in the street with her... It's an addiction. It's an addiction. I'm having fun. I'm feeling good. I'm making points. It's the Savage Nation. My new novel's out next week, Countdown to Mecca. If you really like me, I want you to buy it. You know why? For you. If you bought any of the other Jack Catfield novels, you got to have this one, because I'm not writing anymore. Jack Catfield's dead.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I see a headline, McDonald's embracing a new ingredient, kale. I mean, this is absurd. Who goes to McDonald's for health food? Does anyone you know go to McDonald's for health food diets? The idiot who just took over McDonald's, listen to this. Steve Estabrook says he wants to turn the chain into a, quote, modern progressive burger company. We don't go there for progressive burgers. We want throwback burgers. I eat them once in a while, but if I go to McDonald's, I don't want a progressive burger dripping in kale, which induces diarrhea. You know, it's crazy because... McDonald's recently ran an ad that celebrated the Big Mac and mocked trendy ingredients like soy, which I hate. Soy gives me hives. Quinoa, I can't digest it. I don't think goats can eat quinoa. Greek yogurt, I could do without. It's bankrupt. And kale, I don't eat because it causes diarrhea. I don't eat any of this garbage. I wrote books on health food. Why must I embrace progressive vegetables now? And progressive ingredients. I don't understand this, how maddening it gets. People are so into, like, trends. Oh, yeah, I'm into kale. Yeah, I'm into kale. Why are you into kale, idiot? Everywhere you turn, idiots, kale. They wear these exercise suits. What do you call these? The outfits that the women wear? The tight outfits? I don't know what they're called. Yoga pants. Do you want to wear yoga pants and go have a kale breakfast? Do you have any idea what you're risking with that? It's a family show. Now, Tesla, another example of progressive idiocy. I was told last night by another person who knows a lot, Tesla's the number one car towed away in America. The idiots are running out of battery juice. I swear to God, it's unbelievable. They're speeding along in the electric car. It's like I had electric trains when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like when the motor would burn out, the train would stop. They can't get enough places to plug them in. That's the world I'm living in. So now going back to politics per se, I look at this story I didn't get to. Wait, hold it. Aside from Michelle and the museums, here's six stories I didn't get to. Cup of cocoa a day keeps memory loss away. I found this on an old issue of Russian RT.com. Is that illegal for me to read RT.com, the Russian language website? I mean, you read the New York Times, the New York Post. Politico, that's kind of the government. RT.com says a cup of cocoa a day keeps memory loss away. And it's because of the flavanols in the cocoa. And it says if a participant had the memory of a typical 60-year-old at the beginning of the study, after 3 months, that person on average had the memory of a typical 34-year-old. Now, this is a good study from Columbia University Medical Center. It's not a marginal study. And it's a dietary experiment based on the effects of flavanols extracted from cocoa beans on the aging human brain, published in the journal Nature and Neuroscience on Sunday, I think it was last April. It's a good study. Now, we know that flavonoids and flavanols are all health-inducing. I really don't know of any negative negative toxicants from flavanols. I know an awful lot about toxicants in plants. I don't know of any flavanols that are toxic. There may be some. But here's the thing about that study. It's not cocoa that you can get in the market, because it's a specially prepared cocoa drink that has 900 milligrams of flavanols, whereas the cocoa drinks that you're getting typically have 10 milligrams because they're denuded of the flavanols. So what you got to do now is say, okay, so what do I eat to get the flavonoids to keep my memory alive? I'll make it simple. Berries, fruits that grow on trees, nuts and beans, certain vegetables, particularly, again, those vegetables banned by the nuts who eat kale, those in the nightshade family, which is, I tell you why there's a mental deficiency going on in America. No meat, so they have no iron. That's number one, so they have no energy. Number two, they've eschewed nightshades. Oh, no, don't give me a tomato. Don't give me a red pepper. Don't give me an eggplant. Highly, highly, highly rich in the flavanols. Everything they don't eat. Peppers, tomatoes, eggplants, high in the flavonoids, quercetin, and the flavones, luteolin. Onions. They probably don't eat onions. The exercise pants people. Spices high in certain types of flavonoids, and certain fruit juices high in flavonoids. And that would include red grapes. I eat grapes day and night. So tea. Did you know that tea of all types, including black, red, and green tea, have been shown to be high in catechins, such as epigallic catechin, along with related flavonols, such as, well, I won't read the name to just to show you how smart I am. Tea is good for you. So what I'm saying is you can get the flavonols from a wide variety of beverages and vegetables and fruits, and it's good to keep your memory going. It's probably why I still have a great memory. I forget nothing. I remember insults from 50 years ago. That's why I don't talk to anyone in my family. I mean, my immediate family, yes. The ones I left behind in New York and Florida, I wouldn't be caught dead in the room with them. Maybe one or two distant, not the actual family members would I talk to, but the ones they married, some of them are good. Oh, what else do you want to talk about? Iran bill approved. Senate okays measure giving Congress nuke deal review. Total lie. Total lie. It was Obama's bill that they just approved, the sellouts in Congress. They may as well be Justin Bieber, the Republican Party. Concerned with their abs. I mean, the entire Republican Party looks like a 19-year-old moron with tattoos who's concerned with his abs, not with the nation. The whole thing's crazy. Okay's measure giving Congress nuke deal review. No, it gives them nothing. Zero, if you study it. Sorry. Fed court deals blow to NSA phone data program. Yes, that's a good story. That's positive. The federal court just said to the NSA they don't have the blanket right to screen everything that you do. Good. Now see if you can stop the idiots who are doing it. British voters go to polls. We'll have the results for you in 20 minutes. It's 20 minutes from now. We're going to find out what England's going to become, whether it's going to be the Lion of Britain or the Lamb of Britain. We don't know yet. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the Lamb of Britain, no matter who wins. Michael on WABC, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? What's the topic?
Good afternoon, Mr. Savage. I'm actually a fan of your show. I wanted to agree with one of the previous callers about feeling uncomfortable in the museum.
Why do I care if you felt uncomfortable? What is that my business? Why would you feel uncomfortable? What made you uncomfortable?
You know what it is? It's an easy feeling when it happens repeatedly, and it's just the overall thing that most, I guess, people of color experience.
Again, color. That's all that's on your mind, color. I told you I felt uncomfortable in a museum as a poor white kid. We explained to you it's about being poor, not about being black or brown. Don't you understand that? But Obama's trying to make it a racial issue.
Right. Well, my grandmother's Italian, so, you know, I am of a mixed race.
Let me explain something. If you fall into the trap that Obama's laying for you, where everything you do is seen through the lens of racism, you're enslaving yourself. You're not ennobling yourself. You're not giving yourself the opportunity to move above the prison he's created for you. What you do is you go to the museum and you say, all right, so I don't feel that comfortable here. It's kind of like above me in class or something like that. That's what you're probably feeling. Like, I don't really belong here. I've only gone to movies. But you figure you want to go and see, you know, fine art. Don't focus on the people. Focus on the art. That's the message. Michael, the message is focus on the art and forget the people and the guards. If you go stand in front of one of those great alabaster figures done in Roman times, and you see the smooth lines of the body, the human body. It'll transcend anything of this time that we're in right now. That's the whole object of fine art, is to give us a sense of a universal sense of belonging to something bigger than us. Obama tries to make sure that we don't even know the past. Classic revolutionary tactic, destroying the past, blowing up the culture. And don't fall into it, Michael. And what you were doing in the museum was you were trying to identify with a certain part of yourself, right?
I was. And,
see what I'm saying? You went there because you wanted to experience a side of yourself that you felt was artistic, that your people came from, right? Isn't that what you said, sort of?
Yes.
You said you're part Italian. I don't know what your other part of your heritage is. But you were saying maybe you wanted to see some of the fine Italian art. Is that more or less what you were saying?
Yeah, I just wanted to experience, you know, the museum. And just not only museums, just the different venues without having an uneasy feeling about being...
But don't you understand that not everyone can feel comfortable wherever they go? Where is it written you have to feel comfortable? If I go to a ball game, as a white man, I feel very uncomfortable. I feel the mob could beat me up at any moment with a bat. Watch, I shouldn't go to a ball game?
You said a ball game or a bowl game?
A ball game. I feel uncomfortable going to a ball game because of the vicious idiots running around with violence in their heads. So what should I do, not go to a baseball game?
No, I mean, you have...
Or it's the same thing. Forget about the people. Go for the event. Don't fall into the bear trap that Obama's laying for you. And to the university people are laying for you, which is everything is racial. Boy, oh boy, have they boiled this country down. You got the first lady lying through her teeth. She was not a poor girl. She did not come from poverty. And here she says she was uncomfortable in museums. My goodness, it doesn't get any worse, or does it? Yes, it does. WABC John, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
When I heard Michelle Obama say that ridiculous comment, I almost fell off my chair. I go to museums at least 3 times a year forever, and I see people from all walks of life there, and educated kids, black, Chinese, Hispanic, making such educated comments about statues, paintings. It's unbelievable.
How does she get away? I want to know how she does this at the Whitney Museum without anyone booing her and saying you're full of crap. I don't care if you're the last lady, the first lady, or the 10th lady. Just get off it already with your racial garbage.
I can't take it anymore, Dr. Savage. I don't know what...
Who can take these two? These two college revolutionaries. They're so over their pay scale level, it's unbelievable to me. They never belonged above a university, these two. This is the kind of crap you'd hear at a college. And that they sit and cheer about white privilege. And they all cheer each other. But you figure that's the lunatic asylum of today is the university. The university today is the lunatic asylum for people like that. But instead, there they are, and they continue it 7 years into their lies, and they doubling down, tripling down.
I don't get it.
And who believes a word that they say?
I
get it. I can't do it. I mean, I just can't do it. It's unbelievable to me. Mary, WYAB Radio, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
You and the nation and Michelle Obama would like to know that poor little old Mississippi, the poorest state of the Union, is building a multi-million dollar civil rights museum that will open up in 2017 and will show all the stuff, the bad stuff. It'll have a jail cell like the ones that the civil rights workers were put in. There's nothing to be hidden. Among those who came to the dedication in 2013 was Merle Evers, you know, the widow of Medgar Evers. That is going to be a fabulous thing. Perhaps Mrs. Obama will feel comfortable there. And to that end, I would like to tell you a great Michelle story. Right before sequestration, when we were poor and we had no money, she and her entourage came to a little town called Clinton, Mississippi, a little west of here, for some silly little thing at a little school that meant nothing. And then she and her entourage left right during rush hour. The entire interstate system shut down for her to traverse from Clinton over to the Jackson Medgar Wiley Evers International Airport. And not one local media person had the thought to say, why are you spending all this money? You could have done this by Skype, by satellite, by FaceTime. Instead, you spent all these millions of dollars, well, hundreds of thousands.
She is the Marie Antoinette of our time. Michelle Obama is a Marie Antoinette in the White House. Some have called her Madame Defarge. I'd call her closer to Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake.
Do you think that she'll be comfortable here? We'll invite her in 2017.
Yeah, I get your point. Let me send you a free book. Maybe you can enjoy reading Countdown to Mecca while you can still read before the liberals ban my writing. That could happen, too. Start with Sharia law. You can't criticize their prophet. What's next? Well, you can't even write a book that makes reference to anything to do with Islam. You're going to have little racists in universities reading novels before they're published. Say, uh-oh, look what he said in here. Sammy, come on over here. Look at this. He's got a thing about generals talking about Muslims been at war with the world for millennia. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Get them over here. We got to cut those pages out of the book. That's the world that the liberals are dragging you to. Liberal is such a misnomer, it's beyond belief. 2005 Liberal Fascism, Michael Savage. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So, my controversial statements have attracted the attention of the world. Savage says Obama may arm U.S. gangs for race war. So people are saying he's really lost it. It's nonsense. It'll never happen. They don't know what's already happened. How do I prove it? How about with one line? You ready for it? Remember the riots in Baltimore? Do you remember what happened? Remember the gangs, the Bloods, the Crips, and the Nation of Islam all joined up together? It's in the news. Look it up. They put them together. They created the alliance. They laid down their arms against each other, and they joined arms against all others. But you didn't see it on the nightly news, so therefore you couldn't put two and two together and come up with four. But I put two and two together, and I've come up with more than four, because there's more than four of them. I don't want to start to sound like the fool in Shakespeare, but the fact of the matter is, you don't have to be the fool in Shakespeare to make a mockery of what's going on in this country. They're making a mockery of this nation. Only it's no laughing matter. Michelle Obama says kids who look like me feel unwelcome in museums. And she grew up on the South Side. She was one of those kids herself. And he goes to a Cinco de Mayo thing. And he says that your people are revolutionists. You don't see it yet. I hope you never do. Just keep on golfing and keep talking about deflated footballs. And then call yourself a conservative. You know what I'm saying?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You see, there are so many kids in this country who look at places like museums and concert halls and other cultural centers, and they think to themselves, well, that's not a place for me. For someone who looks like me, for someone who comes from my neighborhood.
As one of my predecessors, Franklin Roosevelt, once said, remember always that all of us, and you and I especially, are descended from immigrants and revolutionists. Immigrants and revolutionists. Now, that's not the story of looking backwards. That's the story of looking forward. That's what we're doing today.
So you've got it straight up. Two agitators in the White House. If you want to be mild about it, two agitators, two left-wing agitators. Let's put it in a mild context. We've got two left-wing agitators in the White House who have not learned their lesson from the last election. Instead, they've tripled down and gone further to the revolutionary side. If you want to go farther down the scale and call it like it really is, go ahead and make my day. The New Yorker cartoon said it all in 2008, just before they became the first couple. They painted a cartoon of her as Angela Davis with a bandolier and an AK-47, and him with a large afro with the looks of the Stokely Carmichael type of that era. Tell me they were wrong, the stereotype. They're actually acting out the stereotype of revolutionaries in the White House. It's happening right in front of your eyes. Meanwhile, they're living high on the hog. It's not exactly, you know, he's talking the talk of the revolutionary and getting down with the people, but just like Castro, he lives high on the hog, doesn't he? Higher than anybody. Air Force One for any golf game he wishes. She on her junkets. Mother lives in the White House. 72 personal assistants. Unheard of. Marie Antoinette never lived better. Never. Meanwhile, all the time stirring up the poor and the masses. So now we're looking here in England, over in England, rather, at the polls just closed. And it's up for grabs. Right now, no party has enough seats to form a government. It's interesting to show you, we have two stinking parties. Democrat-Republican. It's a Democrat party, Republican party. I call it the Democrat party, Republican party, since 1994 when I started in radio. It's a one-party system in this country with a very, very slim difference on taxation. That's about it. Conservatives, Labor Party, SNP, Liberal Democrat, UKIP, and other. We have two choices, a diet Democrat or diet Republican. I'm the kind of guy who likes fresh squeezed orange juice, but it's not on the menu. I can't vote for fresh squeezed orange juice. I get a choice. You know, either I get Snapple or I get Crapple. Whatever I want, I can't get. It's nonsense. But we'll see. In England, they have choices. The funny thing is they have all this choice, and they're more controlled than we are. Go figure that one out. With the parliamentary system, they're even more to the left than we are. That's with only six parties or more. So who knows going to win? Let's pray to God Miliband, the Labourite, doesn't win. That left-wing lunatic, liar, demagogue, useless idiot, liar, elitist, appeasing the worst elements of Britain. Miliband, appeasing the worst elements of the gutter, appeasing the radical Muslims, appealing to Sharia law in his own country, that sellout swine. That's England for you. There he is, smiling. Labour Party leader Ed Miliband and his wife Justine Thornton leave the polling station at Sutton Village Hall in Sutton. Sutton. Who was that guy Sutton the bank robber? Willie Sutton. Willie Sutton the bank robber. I can go into that riff, but I'm not going to do it right now. Okay, you want to talk about any of this? 855-407-282. Or. I think I'll do something else entirely. This morning I appeared on the local radio station KSL with Brian Sussman and Katie Green. And I was just got up, coffee, feeding the birds. And he asked me about the article that was posted on Drudge. So I want to do this. This is a little harder, Robert. Start the beginning of clip one. I'll tell you when to stop. Then we'll go to clip two so they get the context of me in the morning and how I am. And da, da, da. Start with clip one.
I love it. We're getting a house call from Dr. Savage. Good morning, Michael Savage. We were just invoking your name. How are you?
Well, that's why I called. You know, it's early morning for me. My show's at noon. Turn you on. As I was noticing that the bay hasn't risen at all this morning. From the melting of the ice caps, that's good to know. And I was throwing used pita bread to the seagulls and laughing to myself how much they love gluten. It hasn't seemed to kill the seagulls yet. I heard you talking about the link on Drudge, and I'm glad you said that it's not too far-fetched, the idea that this gangster regime would arm the gang.
Right.
Let's think about it. You're right. In context, it's already happening. When you have the police of San Francisco being told to wear uniforms they'd wear to a funeral to mm-hmm. control a crowd, mm-hmm. tell me who they're tipping the scales in favor of.
Right.
The police in San Francisco are facing the mobs tomorrow. Tomorrow in San Francisco, the vermin, the left-wing vermin who don't work for a living, they're all receiving state or federal subsidies of some kind, are going to wreck the city, riot in the city. And the police have been told not to wear uniforms other than the dress uniforms as though they're going to a funeral. Not even to wear their badges because the vermin could rip the badges off and hit them in the face with it. So the police has a job. Police job is to protect us from criminals. The criminals are being told tomorrow run wild in the streets. So that's what's going on now, city to city, because of the regime in the White House. So my point was that the gangs are already armed. They don't have to be given weapons. They have weapons. You talk about disarming. Why don't you disarm the gangs instead of the middle class who are afraid of them and afraid of the government? You know, you talk about what people really want. You talk about the military exercises in Texas, Jade Helm, that no one knows about except a few small people see what this government's doing with a naked violation of posse comitatus, putting U.S. military on the streets of America, calling it a training exercise, and it's only in areas where there are staunch conservatives. You don't see the connections, do you? Stir up the masses in the ghettos, suppress the white man in the suburbs, and then what? What's he building up towards? Nothing. He's a nice man with a nice young family. And he's going to sail off into the sunset when his term is up. Didn't he tell us that? He has nothing malevolent in mind. No. Anyway, that's the story right now. 855-407-282. Let me take a couple of quick calls here. WMAL in Washington, D.C., where Savage is king with a 4.5 share. Bob, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, obviously, I go to the museums all the time. I mean, more than a dozen times a year to the National Gallery of Art. There's tons of Smithsonians here, all within an easy walking distance of Michelle's home. Right across the street is a Renwick. So we're seeing the art galleries all the time. The only thing I find intimidating, because I've been destitute all my life, is when they charge a lot of money. These are all free. If you go to, there's a couple like the Phillips, it's $12, but it's outstanding, and that's pretty nice. You're never intimidated because the guards, well, half the ones around, it seems like half of them are black at the National Gallery of Art and Smithsonian. You don't really pay attention. They're all regular people.
So why is it that Michelle says that poor people, black people in particular, feel uncomfortable if the guards are largely black?
I have no idea. I've talked to them. A lot of them are good friends of mine because I know them pretty well. We talk about art and a variety of things. So they're not at all.
So she's classically just a demagogue trying to stir up hatred.
The only thing I can think of is maybe the liberals have jacked the parking tickets to $100, and maybe that may be intimidating.
I don't know. It's just she's a demagogue. She's trying to stir up hatred. It's sickening that a first lady would spend so much of her time stirring up hatred and enmity between the races, Bob. That's the point I'm making today. This is beneath the dignity of that station called the First Lady to do things like this regularly. She's speaking at the Whitney Museum saying that she's uncomfortable in museums and other people of color are uncomfortable in museums.
Not true. No, everybody's comfortable. They're all relaxed. There's nobody snooty or snotty.
I say there's only one explanation for her saying that at the Whitney Museum, which is maybe there had been a storm in New York the day before, and the N got blown off the title of the museum on the front of the building, and she thought it was the Whitey Museum.
Yeah, instead of the Whitney. Yeah. Well.
All right, look, the point is all you can do is laugh at fools like this. They're very dangerous, very powerful, and extremely demonic. I'm sending you a free copy of Countdown to Mecca, which will be out next week. I hope you enjoy it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, here's some breaking news out of England. The BBC predicts a huge victory for the Conservatives in a hung parliament with 316 seats to Labour's 239. And it says the Liberal Dems will have just 10 seats, a loss of 47. UKIP, the very Conservative Party, will only have two. But nevertheless, the Conservatives will hold on, and Labour's going to lose some seats. There'll be no change in England. They're all capitulating to the left anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But thank God that the psycho Miliband, it doesn't look like he's going to win. Let's come back to America, where the racism is perpetuated on a daily basis, a revolution stimulated on a daily basis by the couple in the White House who are so full of it, it's frightening. They're the most elite, pampered people in the United States of America, as are all leaders, and yet they keep pretending they identify with the lowest and the poorest. How does that work? Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Savage? I just want to first tell you that you're highly respected, and I just want to let you know that I'd like to challenge you on your white privilege, sir.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Could you make your point? You're trying to be very, very smart and white privilege. Okay, now try to make your college point.
I have a simple question. do you support reparations for the black Americans in the
United States? No, I don't support reparations for anybody. Next question.
Okay, then you're part of the problem. Because
why don't you start with reparations? You have any extra money in your pocket?
Trickle it down, does it not, Mr. Savage?
No, I said, do you have any extra money in the bank?
No, absolutely not.
Well, why not? What, are you stupid? You couldn't save any money at this time in your life? You don't even have an extra $100 you can give to a black person?
It's because of white privilege. I do a lot. I do what I can. I'm against this white privilege system every day.
Tell me, my friend, where did you pick up this disease, this mental disease?
Ah, man, are you going to assault me on the air? But it's okay, though. It's not a disease.
No, you're a mentally ill white man. If you're buying into the lie of white privilege, you're a mentally ill white man. When the Irish came here, they were treated like slaves. Do you know that? Did you know it said Irish and dogs need not apply? Are you aware of that?
Mr. Savage, let's not lose...
No, don't give me the Mr. Savage garbage. Every race that came here that was poor was picked on. Stop already with buying into this white privilege crap. Your grandfather would be turning over in his grave to know that he produced a weakling like you for a grandson.
Mr. Savage, do you know that the blacks are the only ones that were forced to come here? Are you okay with that? Did the Jews have a choice to come here?
Why is this all of a sudden a problem? Why is it that the races were moving together until this communist appeared in the White House? And now all of a sudden, all we hear is about grievance, 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 grievance.
Are you going to listen, boss?
Because why should I listen to you? You're an ignoramus. What's there to listen to? What have you said that's worth listening to? You've just had the largest audience you're going to have for the rest of your life. No one is ever going to listen to you again.
One issue at a time, Mr. Savage. Can we agree that wealth trickled down? Can we agree that in the 50s that blacks were not given a fair opportunity as the whites who were...
I think that was all fixed in the 60s, wasn't it?
No, actually, Dr. King's got a speech about it that is...
Wasn't it all fixed in the 60s? Excuse me, what world are you living in?
Check Dr. King's...
Can you show me inequality in this country between any race? Go ahead. Show me the difference in human rights and civil rights between any race in this country right now. Don't talk to me about the past.
Sir, that's the difference. That's the difference, Mr. Savage.
Well, no. I asked you a question. Show me one right, one civil right or human right that a black or a brown person does not have in this country. Name one.
You want me to be honest? Civil rights is one of the worst.
I just said to you, name one civil or human right that a black person does not have in this country today. I want to know it. I'm asking you to answer the question. The reason you can't is because you know there's no answer that will satisfy your propagandist lie. You are a left-wing fanatic, and you think that by joining your revolutionary buddies over a joint once in a while, you're empowering yourself. All you're doing is imprisoning yourself and keeping yourself down. You'll never move ahead in this country because you're filled with the same hatred that Obama puts in your head, and that's why you're a loser. That's why you don't have an extra $100 to give away to a black person in the street.
But you couldn't handle being black.
Why don't you have an extra $100 to give away to a poor minority? I was going to suggest if you owned a house, you should give it away to a gang member. Or you could turn it into a crack den. You give it away to a crack gang if you feel so bad about yourself. Why are you lecturing everybody else? Give away your money instead.
Because I'm hitting a nerve. Only white people talk about things.
I don't know who it is. Probably someone just trying to pull my leg. It's good because I just had chocolate ice cream after the heavy meal and I was feeling a little tired. That stimulated. Helped digest the chocolate. Actually, it's a non-dairy ice cream. It's very good. I found a new one. It's made of almond milk. Oh, is it good? God. I'm finding I don't even want to drink at night after I have this thing. It's like carob. It's the sugar. I know what alcohol is. It converts to sugar. I get it. I have a doctor in the field. But I can't sleep at night. That's the problem. Between this show and talking to morons like that. See, the reason he's listening to the show is because he knows I'm right. This is what happens. They start out by hating me because I'm touching a raw nerve inside their stupid white heads. These are the kids who went to stupid low-life colleges like Harvard, institutions of lower living. They were lectured to by LGBT psycho leftists from hell. They start to hate their own race. They hate themselves. They come out of school. They don't understand why they can't get ahead. And then they look around. They see the world passing them by. And they start to listen to a show like mine because I'm making sense to them. So they start by hating me. Then they try to debate me. They don't get anywhere. They listen for months. And before long, they're actually agreeing with me. After a year, they call me up and they say that they actually realize I was right all along. They're sorry. They usually get a haircut. They buy new clothing and they go out and get a job. Before long, they're a human being. They're no longer beating up police horses and breaking the windows of McDonald's on weekends. Okay, that's the story. The fact of the matter is this country will survive these two lowlifes in the White House. We will survive them. The people are looking through them. They have no clothes, you know what I'm saying? For her to get up and give a speech like this is an offense to white people and to black people. To say that she's uncomfortable in a museum? It's astounding. But not something you couldn't predict. It's Angela Davis in the White House.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
America, and not only did they not expose corruption, they've made corruption larger than ever in American history. It has never been this bad. Both parties are sacking the Treasury. The two revolutionaries have never lived better. You know, it's the old adage about the missionaries that I've told you about before. Missionaries who went to Hawaii to do good, and they did very well indeed. Their descendants now own most of the land. That's the Obamas. They're in the White House to do good, but they're doing very, very well indeed. Indeed they are. Hillary Clinton is even worse. Listen to what she says in clip number 9. Here's what's coming.
I will fight for comprehensive immigration reform and a path to citizenship for you and for your families across our country. I will fight to stop partisan attacks on the executive actions that would put Dreamers, including those with us today, at risk of deportation. And if Congress continues to refuse to act as president, I would do everything possible under the law to go even further.
This liar, this demagogue is worse than Obama. She's farther to the left than Obama is, and she's doing this to fight off Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren. The left is now pushing her. Again, I can't understand how the Democrat Party is owned by such a small band of revolutionary leftists and catering to them. Because way back in 2003, Hillary said something different. Listen to clip 10. Listen to her in 10.
I am, adamantly against illegal immigrants. I made this exception basically on humanitarian grounds because of the individual story.
She's against immigrants. Now she's for immigrants. So before she was for immigrants, she was against immigrants. That's what you call a demagogue. I've said this to you before. This is the unfortunate truth. In America, there's such great opportunity for all races if you want to get somewhere and you got a brain and you're not given to stupidity. You can pretty much make something of yourself in this country. There's no question you can build something here. Everyone knows that. That's why everyone flocks here. In plain English, everyone but the dumb white revolutionaries will always be on the bottom. They'll always be in the garbage can of society, telling you how bad America is, espousing theories of political revolution that have never worked anywhere. And they wonder when they're an old man why they never got anywhere and why the country never changed. But they're irrelevant. They'll be in the ash can of history eventually, like most leftists have been. The point I'm making is a little different. The fact of the matter is that you listen to Hillary Clinton. She's no better than Obama. She's just another demagogue. Why? Because the best and the brightest, in my experience, never go into politics. I have not seen the best and the brightest people that I know in politics. They either go into a profession, whatever it may be, or they create a business, or they create a work of art, or they become a writer, a web designer, they open a bakery or a cafe. They're far better than most politicians. So we don't get the alphas going into politics. The alphas sit on the sidelines and do something else. We're getting the betas, the deltas, and the gammas. We don't get the best and the brightest in politics. So we get these parrots in the political structure in this country. It's certainly not true in every country. The cream of humanity generally is not on the sidelines in other nations. In this country, the cream of our society generally does not go into politics, incidentally. Okay, 855-400-7282. And we can talk about Michelle's lie. Maybe she ought to burn the museums or take the art exhibits and destroy them. I mean, maybe it makes her uncomfortable to see the great works of art created by Europeans. Is that what she's really saying? Is that what made her uncomfortable? People who actually did something phenomenal? Maybe that's what offends her, is the artwork itself, not the museum. Perhaps that's it. WJR, Sean, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, interestingly enough, I worked in Chicago at the Museum of Science and Industry which is right at the border of Hyde Park and South Shore. So it was no more than 10 minutes from her house. I worked there from 1975 till 1978 as a guide and lecturer and guard. And I will guarantee you that at least 30% of the workers there and at least 30% of the guests there were always African-American, because that's the demographic there. They were treated as well as anybody. There was.
Well, why did she say that growing up on the South Side, she was one of those kids herself and uncomfortable in the museum? She's lying. So who is she telling to be uncomfortable in museums? Why is she promulgating this big lie?
I'm going to do her the favor of not telling you about what it was like to be white in Hyde Park in 1968 to 78, because I'll tell you what, we were not the winners and we were not in charge of anything. We weren't in charge.
All right, well, we can leave it at that. Yeah, we know the game here. She's stirring up hatred towards white people with the big lie that's coming out of the lowest universities about white privilege, which is nonsense. It's an invention. It's a construct of the left, white privilege. It has no meaning.
You're absolutely right, Doc.
Does that mean there's black privilege in Liberia? I mean, by the same token, does that mean there's Asian privilege in Japan? Maybe the Japanese should be uncomfortable in Japan, in their own country. Is that possible? Maybe the Japanese should be uncomfortable because of Japanese privilege in Tokyo. That they tend to like, well, yeah, you know, we should be really uncomfortable in our own country. Yeah, we absolutely shouldn't really like ourselves and like what we've created in Japan. We should throw out our whole culture. See, this is the same mentality. Or how about Chinese privilege? Or you want to try Egyptian privilege? Maybe they should be uncomfortable for being Egyptians in Cairo. Nonsense, just nonsense. So what is she doing here? Tell me exactly what she's doing. Here's a second exit poll from England. Now it's tighter. Tories ahead, but much tighter. Conservative 284, Labour 263, Liberals 31, UKIP 2, Plaids 3, Green 1. Those are the parties. UKIP got two seats. See, I'm trying to tell you. See, if we had a parliamentary system here in America, I would have created the Nationalist Party. I'd have, if we had this number of seats, right? I know I would get 2 to 4 seats. We'd have seats, you know, at the luncheon. We could express ourselves during debates in Parliament. We wouldn't have any power, but that's how a party begins. Here you have no power at all. The Tea Party represented a good swath of the American people, largely white, but including, of course, other races. We all know that. Peace-loving, patriotic Americans. They were smeared by the Congressional Black Caucus, by the unions, and by the media. And as a result, they were marginalized. They lost that power that they once had, but they still exist. Never forget that the, quote, Tea Party didn't go anywhere. It's just fractured. But they do represent a large percentage of the American voting public. They have no one to vote for. That's the problem. But if in this country we had a parliamentary system with 5-6 parties, and Michael Savage created the Nationalist Party based on borders, language, culture, I would guess of 300 seats, we'd have, no, I don't think we'd have 2 seats, of 300 with the borders, language, culture message, probably closer to 10 to 15% of the seats would be ours in the first election. We'd move rapidly ahead because the people are starved for a nationalist presence in this nation, starved to counter the vermin that have dominated the media and dominated government for 30 years now. That's clear as a bell. WMAL, Jonathan, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's quite obvious that Michelle Obama is perpetuating a victim mentality. I grew up in New York, spent my junior high school and high school years going to the museums, the Met, Museum of Natural History. And not once did I feel uncomfortable or any.
and I assume that you're not a white man with white privilege.
I'm an American that happens to be black, and I don't know. Maybe I was too naive to sense it, but I didn't feel.
You know what it is? I don't think you were sensitive enough to the racism you were experiencing.
I don't know, but you know.
You know, you probably weren't as sensitive as she was to the racism that was being forced upon you. That's crazy. What years did you grow up, Jonathan?
Excuse me?
What years did you grow up?
Well, I was born in 54, and I was in New York.
You're closer to my generation, so it wasn't exactly a bed of roses. I didn't feel much racism as a kid, did you?
No. No, I mean, I knew racism existed, but I don't know. I didn't go to school with a lot of white kids at first, like in elementary school. But as I began to become more experienced, you know, with different races and whatnot, it was just, we were just New Yorkers. We were just Americans. You know?
See, that's the beauty of New York. People do rub shoulders with many races. They are used to it. They don't make a big deal of it. And then you get a demagogue comes along, and he tries to tell you we're all different. One has more than the other. You should envy the other man. And they make people uncomfortable with each other. This is very bad for the country. Jonathan, I use one simple story to talk about how life was not as bad as they make it when I grew up. As a white boy, I went to the Apollo Theater in Harlem to see an Alan Freed rock and roll show in the 1950s, if you could believe it, with a small group of white kids. We took the train up to Harlem, we went in there, and we all were just having a great time, white kids and black kids. I didn't say we all kissed each other and danced in the aisles. There was not one fight. Nobody got hurt. On the way out, everyone kept to themselves. There was no trouble in the city at that time.
Right, they had to take something like Martin Luther King being shot or watch riots or something for there to be a flare-up and, you know, burning the city and all that. You know, there was, you know what I mean? You just
Or I would go into all black jazz clubs in the village, 2 o'clock in the morning. Again, I'd be the only white person there. No one, maybe they looked at me, but so what? They figured I liked the music. I wasn't there to bother anybody. This is what you do in a real city in a cosmopolitan environment. But then you get these communists come into power, and the first thing you know is everyone's looking at each other and hating each other.
Right. Well, I think they're just playing on that victim mentality, just so people can think they need to rise up and get what they were deprived of or whatever.
Well, that's bad for everybody, because let me tell you, when the guillotines start to fall, they don't stop with the people on the other side. They never end. The guillotine, as they say during the French Revolution, has an endless thirst for blood. My friend, I'm sending you my new novel, Countdown to Mecca, because we as Americans have a much bigger problem than race relations in America. The biggest problem on the planet is the tsunami of radical Islam that is threatening to flood all of us, submerge all of us, and kill all of us. And I ain't Jonah. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, that was Michael Savage with a big drum roll introducing the next topic. I have a set of Latin drums here that I keep next to the desk that I just played with a little drum roll. It wasn't as audible as we would have liked it, but I wanted to show that my youth was spent in infamy. And the results coming out of the UK right now are interesting. Headline drudge, Cameron pulls off upset in UK but needs coalition. So the middle of the road conservative Tory Cameron has apparently is winning. They lied, in other words, earlier. They did in England what they do here. They make you think that the Liberals are winning when they were losing. And now he's got to put together a coalition very similar to what happened in Israel with Netanyahu. He won. And then he spent a long time having to appease the smaller parties, which is what a parliamentary system is supposed to do. And that's what I was trying to tell you, is that be like, if the Republicans won in the next election and they had to put together a coalition, and I had a party called the Nationalist Party, and we were a parliamentary system, they would have to get my votes to have me join them, and in order to do so, I would force them to crack down on illegal immigrants. I'd force them to do a lot of things to get my vote. That's what the parliamentary system is, and it's more representative than our monopoly. It's that simple. Just a little example of what's going on. Crisis in UK after closest vote in decades, drama at polling stations, Conservatives win. Prediction, Cameron remains prime minister. Labour Conservatives tied at 34% of second poll results. So that's all on a Drudge Report. Feds collect a record $472 billion in taxes in just 1 month. Let me ask you something, where the taxes came from. From the members of the Occupy movement? From the gangs? From the illegal aliens? Where do you think the $500 billion that Obama just stole from the middle class came from? It came from you. You have to fund the rebuilding of Baltimore with the money. You have to pay for the medical care of illegal aliens. That's what you have to do with the money. Border braced for summer surge. More and more illegals are coming to the promised land to drink the milk and honey because hey, if you're stupid enough to give it to them, wouldn't you come here as well? Appeals court rules NSA's collection of phone records not authorized by the Patriot Act. We covered that. And there's so many other stories. Don't miss the link to Michael Savage's story. Still up on the left of the Drudge Report. Obama will arm gangs for race war. See if you agree with me or disagree with me. And while you're at it, again, I have to do it because it's coming out on Monday. It'll be in the bookstores Monday. Countdown to Mecca is the most important of the trilogy of the novels that I've written. I'm the best-selling author of Abuse of Power in a Time for War. And this is the third in the series. It's probably more serious, more on target, and better written. And it's the last in the series. It's not that Jack Catfield dies in the book, but I'm not writing them anymore. In fact, he's finished. 855-400-7282. Let's go to the callers. Josh on KKOB Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. First of all, I want to say it's crazy that this Obama administration is trying to fuel a race war. And he's just making the African community have like a pity party. I'm a Hispanic male. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I'm a minority, you know what I mean? I know how it is. And all I could say is we all have equal opportunity in America.
You want to talk about grievances. I mean, how about the Native American who had everything taken away from them?
Exactly.
You talk about grievances. So a Native American, if I were a Native American son born in this country, I could walk around on a reservation and say that my people had their dignity stolen, had their land stolen, and I could wind up just a loser. Or I could say, okay, that happened. I got to live in the modern world. I got to live in the new way. And I would try to do the best I could. I take advantage of affirmative action. I go to the best schools I could. And I use affirmative action to get anywhere I wanted to go in this country. So the tools exist for a minority to get anywhere he wants to go as long as he's got the brains and the drive. It's nonsense to make believe that the tools don't exist. Okay, it's as simple as that. So you decide if you want to be enchained by Obama's lies or you want to be liberated by the truth. I'm Michael Savage. Be here or be nowhere.